Monty, that's New York burger. It's class. You got it? Megan? Hey!
Hey, hi guys. Welcome back.
Hello. We're now in the month of March.
We are in the month of March.
March is my favorite month.
We've planned a lot for this month, yeah. So we're going to introduce the overarching theme, which is
sexual education.
Whoop, 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 whoop. This is why we need a signboard for the... So on today's episode, we have two very special guests joining us. We have the lovely Gina Donnelly and Sean Simpson talking to us a little bit about some of the work they've done.
So, sexual education.
Can we talk about this?
So here we are, back at our podcast with the lovely Gina and Sean. So why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
I'm Sean Simpson. I am a theatre maker based in Belfast, co-writer, co-director of Two Fingers Up, which was the smash hit about wanking and how shite everything is in Northern Ireland in regards to talking about sex.
And I'm Gina Donnelly, and I am a writer based in Northern Ireland, and I am the co-writer and also co-director of Two Fingers Up. Which is basically a play all about two fingers up to people who won't let you talk about wanking and two fingers up yourself for pleasure.
There you go. Love that. Nice. So thank you guys for introducing yourselves. So let's jump into these questions. My first question for you guys is, what was your experience with sexual education in the Northern Ireland school system, and how was that influential to your piece, and how did it translate kind of into your lives?
I think we should probably start by saying we are kind of lucky because we went to Protestant schools. And Protestant schools do have shit sex education, but they don't have as shit sex education. Shit sex education is bad regardless, I get, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you're maybe better getting none. We had a girl in our cast who got none, and I think that might have been better.
Get more open book.
We had the same people, didn't we?
So yeah, we had Love for Life come in.
Love them.
Icebergs and Baby.
Yes,
Love
I
for
remember
life.
That talk.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
You better off him.
I went to.
Well, it's mixed, but
that's probably why you got nothing. They were all confused.
We don't know what to give. We'd be offended if we bring in nothing.
Jesus. Yeah, but I remember going to see the show. I was saying at the start how amazing it was and how much I related to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the story about the sweet being passed around as a way to say, you know, don't you be a dirty girl and sleep with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That means
what was
you're
the
dirty.
Story of the
sweet? It was basically, this sweet was passed around. This is what happened in my school, the sweet. It was a starburst was passed around the assembly hall. And it was just yours ended with the girl being asked to eat it, and bet you don't want to eat that because that's dirty now.
Mm.
Basically saying, bet you don't want to have sex with that person because it's slept with so many people, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Because that's just putting shame straight away. Like, that's just bad.
Like, I know that we got taught about different types of contraception.
See, we didn't.
But it was, like, a case of, like, when you're married and you maybe don't want to have babies, like, here's a solution for you. Because you're allowed to have sex once you're married.
We
but
didn't
then, like,
get contraception.
Oh,
did Love for Life give you this?
No, this is one of my science teachers.
No, we didn't get
but she refused to say the word condom. She described it as a she.
My mummy does this. It's no, she called a period her granny. I was like, your granny? What are you talking about? My mate called it potpourri. I was like, what's going on?
Tom. There was a really unlucky guy in our school who was actually called Tom, and I remember girls talking about all the time, I hate Tom. I'm like,
I know, because I remember even saying, like, the word sandwich towels as well, or tampons. It's like, Mommy, did you get those things from a thing?
I remember taking your sandwich towel out to go to the bathroom in school, and it'd be up your sleeve and all. You'd try and lift something out of your bag, the teacher would be all, what are you looking in your bag for? And you'd be like, no.
Yeah, that was kind of the height of it. Like, you were told it was great to be a virgin.
Yeah.
It is completely great to be a virgin if
Absolutely.
You fucking want to be a virgin. Just want to put that out there. Not hating on virgins. Mm-hmm. But that if you wanted to have sex, there was conditions, you know. And that's just not okay.
No.
And it was very much male, female, heterosexual,
yes.
in marriage. Like, we got nothing outside of that. And it was like, like, it's such a real thing of, like, the actual danger that comes along with that, that if you go out and you've never been taught about anything other than mm-hmm. male-female sex after marriage, then you're going to go out, like, things are going to go wrong. Like, yeah. people get pregnant, people get STDs, like, and it's just going, no, we're just not going to talk about that, yeah. as though it's not a real thing.
That you're taught as well, because I remember, like, second year, third year, there was girls pregnant in my school, and,
yeah.
you know, we weren't taught about sex education until we were, like, fifth year.
Yeah, you know.
I remember saying to, I was trying, we had like a Love for Life talking, and we'd already had like two of them or something already. We had one in, it was like right in the middle of our A levels, and I was like, listen, I have so much work to be doing, I'm not coming to this. And our head of year was like this fucking dick, like sort of gym teacher kind of guy who was all like really important guys. And you're like, well, like so uncomfortable, didn't want to talk about it. And I was like, listen, I'm not gonna go. I'm gonna go and work in the study instead. And he was like, you have to go, like, it's part of the curriculum and all. And I just turned around and I was like, everybody in this year is 17.
Yeah.
You're a wee bit late. And he was raging. And then I just went home instead. But I learned more at home. Went home and had a wank.
Yeah. But it was that wee video, like, I don't know if you saw it then, the Titanic video. Like, we say it in the play, so if you've seen the play, it's just us repeating ourselves, but, like, they were literal stick figures. It was a girl who was babysitting for her neighbour.
Yes, I remember this talk. I got the same talk.
And comes through, calls her boyfriend, he comes around, love and life, and it starts with them just sitting on the sofa together. And then the next slide is, they're slightly closer. And then the next slide is, her leg is on his leg.
It's getting so sad.
And then next thing you know, they're butt naked riding. Like, it's just, like, as if. Like, as if. But, like, I don't know, like, even then,
that's
it's like,
works.
Even then, it's like the sex education you are getting, right? The very fucking bare minimum, which is causing so much shame and conflict inside of you, doesn't even talk about foreplay.
Yeah,
no.
Doesn't even talk about female pleasure.
Now we understand what happened to a generation of.
Oh, fuck. And then you find yourself, like, home with some fella and you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
what is happening?
Yeah, you're hardly happening? In the door and the dick's out.
Yeah, like,
So what were the sort of responses and reactions that you got from the piece, like from your audiences? Was it received well, or people have criticisms or things like that?
I think my favourite reaction is, this needs to be in schools.
Yes.
Which it does.
But, like, no school would ever fucking put it on, and that's always our response. Like, if you can find me a school that'll do it, fucking
Claire Bailey from the Green Party came to see the show. We invited a representative from all the local political parties to see the show. Free tickets. We were like, we'll put your tickets aside. We think it's really important you engage with it. Claire Hannah from the SDLP got back, said she was away, but she was, you know, got it not to be seen at whatever. But got in touch very quickly, responded to the email. Claire Bailey showed up and was a big fan and had it all over Twitter afterwards, and she said, I want this added to the national curriculum and all this, and it was amazing. The DUP never replied.
Their following is now not them, it's not the DUP party, so you can't sue me for this, DUP party. But it was, like, they have Twitter, like, followers, like, it's like a DUP Twitter account, but it's not an official DUP Twitter account.
Okay.
That has started attacking
the attacking the Mac for programming Two Fingers Up.
Because Two Fingers Up is a hate speech piece against the DUP.
Because we said that the day that the day that equal marriage and abortion rights got passed and Arlene Foster looked raging, I tweeted that the look on Arlene Foster's face would provide wanking material for years to come. And they said that it was hate speech.
Aww.
But it's the game, see the play. It's not hate speech. We're criticising everyone, not just them.
Yeah, and that is the thing. Like, much as we do sort of mouth off with the DUP and stuff, it's not, like, you know, just at them. It's very much at a system that's, like, worked this way for so long, and all the parties sort of being this kind of stuck in the past thing where they're not looking at the really important day-to-day stuff of, like, this maybe doesn't seem like a massive deal in comparison with big other, like, things like spending and other policies that, like, seem massive, but this is a day-to-day thing that's having a real impact on people's lives.
Well, having said that, you know, if you can't get into schools, then what would be your advice to change the system in terms of sexual education? Like, what would be your sort of, how would you think we would need to change?
Well, I think, like, there's alternatives to Love for Life. There's alternatives to, you know, having a fucking nun or a priest come in and chat to you. Like, and they are available. Like, Nexus provides sex education. Mm-hmm. There's, I cannot remember her name for the life, but there's, like, a 17-year-old girl who goes into schools and provides accurate, non-shameful sex education.
My brings cousin, in sex toys and everything, yeah, doesn't she? Yeah.
My cousin was given her sex education by her, and she was absolutely scundered. But she was like, Sean, you would have loved it. We were told that it's okay to wank. And I was like, amazing, wonderful, great. So those options are there and they are coming into schools gradually. Mm-hmm. It's just that the majority is that kind of love for life or kind of Christian kind of based teaching. And Love for Life is supposed to be like this big non-secular company, yeah, but we looked into it and it's actually owned by like a Presbyterian.
They have a podcast.
Oh, the podcast. You should listen to the podcast. Yeah.
In case you didn't get fucked up enough. It's great. But the actual fact of it, I think it's 75% of sex education in Northern Ireland. No, 70% of sex education in Northern Ireland is given by Love for Life, which are a church organisation. 5% is now Nexus and other like independent groups. Then the rest is like church, like Catholic Church, that kind of thing. So, or none. So like it is a massive, like the reason why all this came about is because the Ulster Rugby Rafe trial, 3 out of 4 of them had their sex education from Love for Life. So there was girls I was talking to at the protest who were campaigning for change in their schools because obviously this isn't working. Not that that's the only part of that, but I think that it does give you a really skewed perspective on sex and consent really early on. So I guess our advice would just be, if you feel like your school is letting you down in any way, kind of go outside for advice. You know, but then obviously people do and they go to their mates and stuff, but like there are organisations like Nexus and like Women's Aid and stuff you could go and speak to and get proper sex education from them. And the FPA, like the Family Planning Association, you can go in and get information. Even just things that like they will teach you things like how to take your pill properly and things like that. And we have a joke in Two Fingers Up about like detox teas. Like there was a big thing with boo tea because it's like a laxative that so many women ended up getting pregnant on, it just cancels out your pill.
Do you think now with having, you know, obviously there's more, you know, freedom in recognising young people in schools of being transgender, and there's more leeway around that, gay, lesbian, so forth, you know, do you think there's going to be more in that? Because like you were saying, it's very heterosexual, male, female. Do you think there's going to be any more exploration in that with the coming years?
I would really like to hope so. It's one of those things, like I have quite a lot of like gay friends, and for them, like the first time having anal sex or the first time, you know, like with all those kind of things, it was terrifying. And it was a case of them for like the 2 weeks prior, like planning it, and like 2 weeks prior googling all these things, hearing all these horror stories, and like no one really being there to actually sit down and give them facts or advice, because they didn't feel comfortable to go to their doctor, they didn't feel comfortable to go to someone to speak about it, because of the shame and the stigma around it. But I think what I would like is if they are going to be more inclusive, to be more inclusive but also then be accurate. I wouldn't want the kind of shame that is there already to remain, and then just also have some information, you know, on LGBT sex education.
And they need to start like actually sort of policing, I think, these organisations that come in and like what gives them the authority to talk about this. And like you need to be being spoke to about these matters by people who understand it and understand like the actual mechanisms of things, the biology of things, like just so that people understand what's going on with their bodies and know who they can go and speak to and things like that. Because at the minute you have like either organisations coming in, or you have like a nun from the school or like the PE teacher or something, and like people you go, their only experience is that they went through the same shite system themselves and then fumbled around for a bit when they got a bit older, and now they're trying to tell you.
Yeah, and then it's that whole thing of, is there a correct age to tell all these?
Oh my goodness, as young as possible. 100% as young as possible.
And using the correct words, not
The whole pants initiative, and that
we never had that at home, like that whole like, you know, like your fairy and all that kind of, it was just like that
thing. And it said that teach your kids the correct terms for their like private parts, because it was something like
the cookie thing
wasn't it? It was like some kid went into school and was like, oh, my uncle like ate my cookie or something, but maybe they actually meant that, but the teacher was like, oh, is that a code word for, and they brought up this whole thing, like they should know what it is, because I literally could not say the word vagina until like a year ago. I was like, I don't know why I was so afraid of it, but it is what it is, call a spade a spade, do you know what I mean? And like it's just that sort of, it's taking that shame away, I think is the main thing, because it's natural, it happens, everyone does it, taking that away and giving them the information to make the right decisions and the right choices and be safe
You know. Well, then, how young is too young? Mm-hmm. Though? Do you know? Are you teaching? You know, kids in primary school basic sex, and then get in when they're in secondary school, they're a bit more mature. You're teaching them about the whole aspect of foreplay and, you know, female pleasure, male pleasure. You know, all that.
I think consent definitely needs to be taught from primary school level, yeah. And I think that
even
that's
before,
important.
If you're in like nurseries and stuff, like as soon as they're social, like really, it should be being taught in home in the most basic ways from like their no age.
Yeah.
And then it should be being kind of reinforced as soon as you have like socializing things like nurseries and stuff together. You know, you have, this is the thing as well, is understanding that if you, even in masturbation, there's an area of consent that if anybody else is present, they have to be comfortable like with what's going on with you and stuff there as well. Even with your partner and stuff, because that's like, you know, it's, there is sort of an assumption, and this is something that's never talked about in sex ed, that like your partner is always like good to go.
Yeah.
Like if you're married to somebody, if you're with somebody, like that's that, like it would be marriage and sex education. But like if you're going with somebody, like that, there's just sort of an, always a consent there, but like there's not. And you know, there might be some things that there is something for, and other things that like you have to talk about it again. So
yeah, it's just with our whole call it out thing around uni at the minute, and just because you're in a relationship doesn't mean it's not rape, really.
Yeah.
Or, you know, things like that.
And just be open and talk to you. Like, make sure that you both know what's going on. And
well, to share a really lovely story that Kyla's 100% going to kill me for. But sure, he probably won't even listen. Him and I have been together nearly 4 years now, and you know, we're engaged, we're getting married, all the rest, and like all that crack. We always have chats about consent, have chats about how we're feeling about our bodies, how we're feeling about certain things, and it's always an ongoing conversation. Recently, there's been issues whenever we've kind of like woke up like riding, you know, which is like, what the fuck, crazy. But like, instead of just like ignoring it and then me ending up pregnant one day, we've had to sit down, have a conversation, and we now have a safe word for whenever you wake up. So we know whenever someone's awake, we know what the crack is. We've both spoke about how we feel about it. And like, it just, I don't know, like it's difficult to be like, here, like we need to have a chat about this.
Yeah.
But like, sometimes you do need to have a chat about it. And like, I feel so much better for having a chat about it. He does. It means hopefully I won't get pregnant, which is good. It means hopefully he won't do something that he wouldn't usually consent. They're difficult conversations, and it never stops. Like, it's like, regardless of whether it's a fucking one night stand or whether it's like a 10-year relationship, like it just has to keep going, that conversation.
Just out of curiosity, just because I'm a curious wee cat, your views on pornography?
I know I looked at porn in sex education whenever I was younger. I think it's really difficult because like there's this conversation, this talk about like porn being so extreme nowadays and being so unrealistic, and what effect that is having.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like I think as long as something is being ethically made, you know, and you're not breaking any laws or whatever, like fair enough, I'm not going to shame someone's kink, but introducing that from such a young age, not knowing that that's not the norm, or not knowing that that's not necessarily a regular kind of sexual experience, can be incredibly dangerous.
I guess it's just, it's the same as with, it's the whole conversation overall of like the sex education thing, of just being open and taking away the shame of like, if we more openly talked about porn and the fact that like most people watch it, I'm not going to say everyone because not everyone does, but most people watch it, but if we were sort of talking about that from a young age and kind of going, that's grand and that's great and it's a form of escapism, but that it's not the real thing. Treat it like a movie, you know, treat it like a film, treat it the way you treat anything else. And then understand that like your own sex life might be different from that, but you can also then, once you're talking to somebody about it and if you have these conversations, look to that for things you're interested in.
Yeah.
And I think then also understanding, and you know, either sex, whatever, your partner is not a porn star. Like that's not the role that they have to take on. And when you're, if you have things, like if you're like sharing nudes and sending videos and things like that, to respect the point where they say no, even if you've seen it in a video and think, oh, but that's what people do.
That's why I thought it was really important to bring you guys onto this podcast, because Megan, when we were discussing this last week, Megan was even saying when she was coming to university, it was like the scariest thought in the world, not for coming to university and trying something new, but the fact that there was going to be testosterone around, you know, and you were saying going to an all-girls school, that was something.
Yeah, because we didn't even have like a brother's school or anything that joined us. Like it was just nothing.
Yeah,
and then you were coming to Belfast being like, okay, like it was just a whole, and then you know, you don't go, mum, what do I do, like, or you don't, like, you know, my friends were all in relationships, like it was all just very like, what, like everyone was there and I wasn't.
And there's just stress there as well of like feeling like you're too old to sort of be confused or be asking, but nobody having actually spoke to you about it before, so you sort of go, at what age was I supposed to work this out?
Yeah. I just think knowledge is key. Like, if people know, then it's not gonna, and like, I think so many nasty situations and hurt and more serious things wouldn't happen if people were given the information and they knew. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think half of it is just not knowing and then just blindly going for it, and then it's like, what the fuck? Like, when something does go wrong.
Even like in like relationships and stuff, and like whatever kind of, if you have somebody who's like a consistent sexual partner, no matter like what the arrangement is, like you have to be able to have those conversations where you go, even like, I'm not even talking about like things that aren't consensual or whatever, but just being like, I wasn't a fan of that, or going, that's not really my thing, or what you were doing there's not really working for me, and being able to have conversations where, like, I mean, not to generalize, because you know, not all men, but there are some men who will take it as a, well, I've come, so I'm done now. And that's like being able to be like, no, we're here for both of us, and I'm not here to serve you, because that is all a mentality that's put in by, I think, the schooling system, of just being like, you know, that's the end goal is the man, you know, man ejaculates, that makes a baby, so that's the end goal, that's nothing else is of interest.
Why would they think any different?
Yeah,
you're right, like, you put it in a really good way, like, you sort of see sex. It is this and this and this happens, but you take away the actual like fun and you know, the excitement and the trying different things and like different, like it takes away all of that, and it's like, even though you don't, like, it is a big part of, not even relationships, like whatever situation you're in, like, it is like a thing, and it shouldn't be a big, massive, scary, awful thing.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean that people have to feel obliged if you want to wait until marriage, like you were saying. You know, you want to be virgin, you do you be, you know. Yeah.
It's whatever you're comfortable with.
Literally. Exactly. Yeah. It just needs to take the shame out of it. It needs to dilute
shame,
just knowledge.
The stigma
like
needs to go.
So the final question would be, what advice would you give to our young listeners, listeners in university, people who are too afraid to even acknowledge that they have no knowledge and are just going in blind, or just coming to university, or even adults, like people listening who have came through the education system and just have the same.
Start talking and start masturbating, like, which sounds like a joke, but like, and if you already are masturbating, I think try and, even if you only maybe find like one close friend or something, where if you start talking about it, then you stop feeling it, because I think for most people when they start, they're a bit like, fuck, I shouldn't have done that. And then it makes you feel weird about it, but the more you do it and the more openly you're talking about it, like, so in my household this week, one of my housemates got their first ever vibrator. I'm a big advocate of the vibrator. I think we should all have at least 10 but it was actually one of my housemates and one other mate, we were sitting talking about it, and both of them had just happened to have ordered their first vibrators in the same week. And I was like, delighted. I was going, I want written reviews. I want to know exact. And then it becomes like more of a fun thing where you're not going like smuggling it into your room going, I can't tell anybody I have this. And I think just that sort of thing. And then you start to know more what you like. And then like, I've definitely found it makes you better at talking during sex with other people about what you like, if you're more comfortable talking about like your own sexuality just in general. We talk about wanking every day.
Oh god,
people need to tell us to stop. Like, I'm
and they have.
And they have.
Well, I don't know. Like, I think, especially when writing Two Fingers Up and going through that whole process, I actually sat down with my auntie and sat down with my mom, sat down with my granny, and like terrifyingly had those conversations. The one with my aunt was fucking brilliant. Like, my aunt was a midwife for many years. She actually gave sex education to people during the height of the Troubles. She had to smuggle dildos through the checkpoints, and all the soldiers made fun of her. Yeah, it was a great time. Great time. Exactly. It's that she then called in her two daughters, my cousins, and then had this whole conversation about what to do if you get raped, and what to do if you feel uncomfortable, and what to do. And like, not like blame yourself for 5 years, but be like, don't have a shower and go to your nearest crisis clinic, like, like actual advice.
Yeah, that's really important, is because people, so many people say that the instant response is you want to have a shower and like get away from what's happened, but like, unfortunately, like, you can't really do that. Like, the evidence is so, can be so weak anyway, that you just need to get straight to your nearest crisis point.
About rape, because I remember in school thinking I was going to be in a forest and it's going to be a big dark engine. You have a whistle.
We're like walking through Queens at night to think you're going to get grabbed.
It can happen in relationships. It can happen with your best friend. It happens in everyday situations, and it is just that
knowledge. In different ways too, do you know what I mean? They don't talk about the different degrees and different, like,
Yeah. Because in TV, it's just, it's this woman screaming and it's violent and it's voyeuristic and it's sexualized and I fucking hate it. Yeah, I fucking hate it. Yeah. But that's not always the reality.
Yeah.
You know? Could happen anywhere.
I think and it's so much this image that it happens on a night out. I think it can happen anywhere. It can be, again, one of those things that it can happen in such a short amount of time that it takes people a while to even realize what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not, you know, there's not like a steadfast way of this is how it happens. So really, like, the only advice we could give is like, start talking about consent to the schools and like the government and everything, just start trying to make this a priority, because we do have a crisis on our hands. But I don't think individually, like, I don't think we can do anything to prevent ourselves being raped. No. Really, there's nothing. Yeah.
I think if you're in an uncomfortable situation and are able to get away. But then also, if a situation like that does happen to you, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
There are charities that are there to help. If you have close friends, you can also talk to them. If you're not comfortable talking to them, or maybe don't get the support that you need from them, you know, you can go and speak to Nexus. You can go and speak to Women's Aid. And just know that regardless of how many times the PS&I will revamp this leaflet or put out this shame shite or you hear it in school, like, that doesn't necessarily mean that any of this was your fault, you know?
And also, if there's anyone who maybe is trying to teach consent or for sex education or has kids they want to pass it on to or is trying to have a conversation with their friends and can't, we are on Twitter and Instagram and things like that, and we're not experts by any means, but we're happy to kind of talk about this more.
And we will link the Two Fingers Up Instagram page and Twitter page on our Instagram. We'll also leave links to all the organisations that you were talking about. And just feel free to speak to any one of us. By no means, 100%. No PhDs, no nothing. It's just going on personal experience, and we'll be able to help you in any way we can or put you in the right direction of any sort of professional help. Girls, thank you so very much for coming on.
I really enjoyed that. This was
very enlightening, to say the least. Knowledge that I didn't even know myself, I will definitely take with me after this podcast. Anything else you guys have to say?
Yeah, just thank you so much for being our first guest.
I know. I think we should have got you like a
first guest. No, it's been so good. And then your Instagram is
up two fingers.
So definitely check that out.
We're the same on Twitter, I think, and maybe on Facebook.
I think we're two fingers up on Facebook.
And are you guys planning on showcasing any more previews of Two Fingers?
We have just been offered an exciting thing that we can't talk about that I nearly did.
So we
are planning to do more. We're hoping to bring it back to Dublin. We only did 2 nights in Belfast and then 1 free night as well, so we're hoping to do another run in Belfast. Hopefully more free nights as well, because we like the show being accessible to as many people as possible and stuff.
Keep an eye on their Instagram for that exciting news that I'm sure will be mentioned soon. Meals are always open as usual, guys, and thank you very much for listening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Bye.